Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Ooh, crisp. That is the crisp sound of episode 103 of Off the Cut for Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. Gotta take a quick sip.
You? Are the mountains blue?
Yeah, are they cold certified?
They're blue, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I hate Coors Light.
Really?
I've just been so damn busy today. This is like the first time I've sat down, and I'm like, oh.
I wish you told me that it was beer o'clock, because then I would have gone and got a beer.
Well, you got time.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Do the intro. I'm going to run it.
I got you. All right. We want to continue to remind you that the worst podcast available on Apple and Spotify is, in fact, the Green Suitors podcast. But the best place to buy woodworking tools is KM Tools, Cats Moses Tools. Huge shout out to Jonathan. He's supporting the show. He's making tons of sweet tools. In fact, he wanted us to mention, and I wanted to mention it as well. He just came out with the KM Tools box joint, Jake. Did you see that, Zach?
I did not. Let me open up my KM Tools web browser.
Yeah. Derek, have you seen the new box joint? Box joint jig? Why is that so hard to say?
Look at this. This is very clearly a tool that has been made on a professional CNC.
Oh, yeah. Look at it. Have you ever tried to make box joints, like a box joint jig yourself?
Dude, do I look like a woodworker to you, or do I look like a guy who plays one on the internet?
It is the biggest pain in the ass ever.
Yeah.
Because if it's just slightly off, things aren't going together.
Yes. Yes. You have zero margin for error with box joints. No. I mean, with most of these fancy woodworking joints, this is why I don't pursue the woodworking hobby. I just pretend to be one on the internet.
Yeah. But the new box joint jig is just one of many tools that Jonathan and his team have developed. And that's because they don't fill their store with a bunch of hot garbage. If the only thing that's in their store, the stuff they've personally developed, or it's high quality and it's tested.
Yeah. If it's in their, if it's in the store, it's in their shop. And a portion of every sale goes to the Cats Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund. So it goes to support people, goes to put tools in the hands of people who need them.
Did you see Jonathan's story today? They just hooked a guy up with like a whole saw stop setup.
Oh, hell yeah. Wow. That's so awesome.
Like, a $4,000-$5,000 setup, like that's nuts.
Heck yeah! I gotta make friends with the people over at Saw Stop.
Yeah, yeah. I heard it's a challenging thing, but I mean, Jonathan's, he's obviously got some sort of I mean, they're not donating. I'm sure he's still paying something for these. He might be getting cost or something like that. But
yeah. Well, it's that portion of every sale, and then he's using that to buy saw stops. That I'm sure he's getting a cost or discount of some type.
But anyway, check out KM Tools for all your woodworking needs. And remember, if you want to get entered to win a $50 gift card every single month to KM Tools, I'm really trying to enunciate KM Tools.
Yes.
All you got to do is go over to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast, sign up for any tier, and you get access to all kinds of stuff. You get the after show, you get our live hangouts, and you get entered in for that gift card.
Where's the gift card for?
KM Tools.
No. KM. We have to enunciate. We got feedback from a listener that we were just slurring our words when we're talking. It's probably because of all the beer we're drinking during the show.
Oh, that's a crisp one. What? That's a tall boy, too. Is that a Corona tall boy?
Sure is. Do they have these down in the States? I feel like tall cans are a very Canadian thing. Like, there's not many short cans at the liquor stores here.
That's a 16 ouncer. Well, what is it? Like
473 milliliters.
So those are 16 ouncers here. And in the States, we call them pounders.
Pounders. Okay.
Because a pound is 16 ounces. And you also typically only get those size beers if you're golfing. And you're going to be pounding beers. So it's a two and two. They're pounders.
Yeah. Double entendre.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some pounders at WorkbenchCon next week.
Oh, we should definitely get some pounders at Workbench. Is that next week? It is next week.
I know.
My God.
I know.
Time flies. Crazy.
I remember last year when we were like, should we just buy our tickets now? And we're like, I guess it seems kind of unnecessary to buy a year advance. I was like, this is stupid. Now I'm like, oh my God, it's next week.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Yeah, it is a good thing that we booked our flights and our tickets so far ahead, because time flies and it sneaks up on you.
I don't dare to look to see if the price of my flight has gone down.
No,
like $400 when I bought it, and it's an hour and 10 minute flight.
There's no joy to be had in looking that up. I mean, best case scenario, like, oh, it's gone up to $500, and it's like, so. But you might see that it's like 150, and be like, oh, damn it.
Well, let me ask you guys this, Zach. You travel a fair amount. Derek, you probably travel more than I do. Have you guys seen on some airlines, it's like the base fee is like, you can't, it's not like a free cancellation. You have to pay to cancel it. It's basically like the lowest possible price you can get. And it doesn't have like price match. Mm-hmm. Do you guys buy the lowest possible one? Or do you like get the one that's like, ah, but like I could change it. Like,
I 100% of the time, I just get the cheapest one. I've never changed a flight. I will rearrange my entire life to make a flight work.
It's because you have morals. Your parents raised you like a civilized human being. You made a commitment. You stick to the damn commitment.
Exactly. It would have to be something so catastrophic that I don't even worry about the cost of flight. Like, the cost of the flight then becomes a non-issue. Like my house burned down or something. It's like, well, I guess, you know.
Right.
It's something like that.
Like, if I got sick, I'm getting on the damn plane and I'm still going.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Derek, do you buy the cheapest ticket?
Oh, whenever I fly? Yeah, usually the cheapest one. I try and get, you know, one of those seats that doesn't have anything in front of it. Because I
get
taller and everything.
Yeah.
I don't fly Southwest because their seats are way too small.
I feel like you have to pay for those seats where you get extra leg room now. Like, don't they label all those as premium economy and stuff like that?
Uh-huh.
Mm, yeah, usually they are an upcharge. But if it's a flight that, like, nobody's on, you can usually catch them.
So my friend taught me a hack. He's been flying a lot for work lately. And he said, when you go up to the counter to do, you know, your passport check or check your bags or whatever, he always asks what it costs to upgrade to business or first class. Because apparently they'll haggle with you at the front desk.
Oh, so I like a good haggle.
Sometimes he'll upgrade to first class or business class for like $400 or something like that.
Obviously for a longer flight. This isn't just an hour flight.
Yes, this is for like, you know, like a cross-country flight or something like that. You know, 5-6 hours in the air.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Would you, if it was possible, would you stand for an hour-long flight? If it was a dirt cheap ticket?
Okay. Hold on. Let's put some money figures behind here. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be flying. Let's say you're flying from Toronto to, like, Chicago, which is probably about an hour.
Toronto to Atlanta. Okay. You know,
How long is that flight?
Hour 30, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, so yours isn't much longer than mine.
Yeah.
Is there like a handle or something you can hold on to, or is everybody just kind of like bashing around in there?
Yeah, you gotta. It's basically like riding the train or like the subway or something like that.
Okay.
You got a bar you can hold on to.
So let's say it's $400 for you to get an economy seat for an hour and a half flight.
Yes.
If you give me the ticket for $150, I'd stand.
I would stand too. I would stand for an hour to save $250.
Now, let's say if it was a $200 ticket, it was half off.
I'd still, for a short flight like that,
I'd consider it.
I consider it for sure. if you start pushing more into like 2 or 3 hours, then I'm probably okay. I'll pay the premium for somewhere to sit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But standing might actually be more comfortable than sitting in some of these airplane seats.
Except for that takeoff and landing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. But even like, I don't know, like some of the pilots are pretty good these days. I've had some soft landings lately.
Yeah. So to give context for people at home that have never met us in person, I'm about 6'4". Zach, you're barely shorter than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty damn near. Derek, how tall are you?
6'1".
Okay.
Okay. So we're all the same kind of.
So we're all fairly tall dudes. Mm-hmm. In a standard airplane seat, I have to sit absolutely straight up. My back as far back in the seat as I possibly can.
Yes.
And I usually have
buried into the seat in front of you.
Yeah, I have maybe a half inch of room between my knees and the seat.
I go aisle seat, and then I've got one leg out as far to the left as possible.
Yep.
One leg to the right as far as possible.
Oh, yeah.
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 I'm usually infringing in the Sophie's seat. Yeah, it's not a good time.
It's terrible. So,
for the longest time, I got to travel with kids, so I put a kid next to me, and I basically got a seat and a half.
Yeah, see, that's a good thing about being in a relationship. You put your partner in the seat next to you, and usually that nets you a little extra real estate.
Yeah. Or,
okay, so let me ask you guys this. You're traveling with your significant other. Do you do aisle seat, window seat, and then hope that nobody dares take that middle? Yeah.
No.
Really?
That's a risky move, man.
It is a risky move, but I've successfully done it a number of times.
So Miranda is absolutely infatuated with
the window seat.
Ladies love the window seat.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know why. It's something deep down in their genetic code.
She
love that window.
She will do this like hunch forward thing. Mm-hmm. And just stare out the window the entire time. Nothing will break her gaze. She's not playing a game.
Yeah.
Like, even when the food comes, or like, yeah, who am I talking? I've never been on a flight that gives you food. When the snack comes.
Yeah, the snack.
She's just like over there and we'll just like keep putting the stuff in her mouth and like, and won't look away from the window. So
that's funny.
But then I get stuck in the middle, which is the tall guy is the absolute worst seat to be in.
Yes, 100%.
So we have this courteous joust, I would call it, when we're booking seats. Like, you know, we got the airline thing. You got, you know, what up on the computer. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay. I was like, hey, they want us to pick our seats. And then we don't really say anything for a minute. And I'm just like, well, where do you think we should sit on this plane? She goes, you know, aisle 17 looks like a, you know, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, like, which seat should we get? And then she'll just kind of like look at me. We'll like look back and forth at each other. She's like, well, how many layovers are there? I'm like, there's one layover. So we're going to have 2 total flights. She's like,
oh, that's good. Cause then you can compromise. You can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's like. Do you get the aisle on the, or do you get the window on the way in or the way out, or like,
yeah, here's my philosophy when it comes to these things. I will always put the good thing at the end. So I have something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Give me that crappy middle seat in the first flight. And it's like, I do my time in prison and then I get freedom on the next flight.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. 100% agree.
I find if I give her the window seat on both flights, by the time it's done, she feels so bad that I get what I need.
Oh, okay, okay. And you get a little bit of like relationship credit going into the vacation too.
Yeah.
A little discomfort for me, but it pays off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then I do the risky thing where she likes the window, I like the aisle. So we're just like, screw it. You take the window, I'll take the aisle, and then if somebody wants to sit between us as we bicker on the flight, that's their problem.
It's not like you can have a productive conversation on a plane anyways.
Well, that's the thing. I got my noise-canceling headphones on. She's got her noise-canceling headphones on, and then we'll see each other on the other side. And then sometimes you get lucky and there's nothing, and then you have this glorious free real estate between you.
So let me ask you this. How do you feel about somebody, you get on an airplane, they have no book, they have no headphones, and they just look at you, and you know that they so badly want to engage in an hour and a half long conversation with you on this plane?
Oh.
Okay, so you feel the same way. I can't think of anything worse than that.
Yeah. You know what? I have had like a one or two okay plane conversations, but the majority of them have been absolutely horrible. It's like, get me out of here as soon as possible. Occasionally, like listening to the
Green Suitors podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm going to start doing?
Spotify.
Yeah. If somebody on an airplane is like, do you ever have people ask you, hey, what are you listening to? I've never had people say that. What are you listening to right now?
Jeez, I'm going to like start telling them. Answer.
So I'm going to start telling Green Suitors podcast.
Green Suitors, yeah, true.
Available now.
Oh, you know, you should do it. That's an opportunity to promote our own podcast. You should be like, I'm listening to this great podcast called Off the Cut.
What do they talk about?
Gotta listen. Like, give me your phone. I'm going to subscribe you right now.
Spend the first 25 minutes talking about flying on an airplane. They're like, really? Like, is it like a stand-up comedy podcast? No.
You know what? In fact, you funny should at all. I'm listening to Off the Cut episode 103, and I think you would love it. Mm. And that's how you...
Oh! So then it's like...
Yeah.
Then they listen then they to get it to and have they're like... This old,
they realize, like, oh, I'm that person. I'm that person.
Yeah. All right. Well, last airline question.
Okay. Well, I got one for you. So.
Okay.
Second last.
Peanuts?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Biscoff cookies or whatever they are?
Oh, the buddy. Cookies. Biscoff all day long. I love those cookies for some reason. They remind me of my childhood. We found
those in our grocery store.
Oh, yeah?
They go hard.
I love the airlines that give you unlimited booze. And I don't know like what the cutoff is. Like some are you ask for a beer and they give you like the machine and you have to tap your credit card. Other ones are just like, yeah, here you go, here's a beer.
What the hell airline are you flying that gives you free booze?
Well, a lot of the Asian airlines that I've flown with give you free booze, especially like long haul flights. I was gonna ask you, that was my next question, is like, what's the longest flight you've ever done?
4 hours.
Oh, baby. Okay. Oh, you're in. That's why you're not getting free booze.
Or Hawaii.
Yeah, when we're going to Hawaii, our longest one was it was 6.5 hours. But we got the first class thing, which I've never done. And apparently that's unlimited alcohol the whole time too.
Yeah, that is for sure. I did Toronto to Hong Kong, which is a 16-hour flight. But free booze. So, you know, I basically just gave myself the old sleeping pill in the form of alcohol and then just passed out.
Did anybody get cut off?
No, I've never actually gotten. No, most people are pretty responsible on flights. You know, I've never seen anybody get super severely drunk on a flight.
Nobody's doing the Wade Boggs challenge where you try to drink 72 beers on a
cross-country
flight.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody do that.
Well, here's my hack. So you guys always say you go with the Biscoff cookies, right?
Yes.
All right. What you got to do, and you're going to be like, this is a little weird. You have to order the apple juice.
Okay.
And
I'm listening.
If you drink the apple juice with that cookie, it is the best flavor combination in the world.
Really?
And it will make you feel like you're in elementary school again or like kindergarten again.
I will try that. Maybe I'll try that next week flying down to Atlanta. I love Biscoff cookie. I love apple juice. Yeah. So combining the two, why not? Let's give it a go.
It's a good combo.
Okay.
So you had an airline question. Then we'll move on to relevant things.
No, I was just going to ask you guys your longest flights.
Eight and a half, almost 9 hours going to Hawaii from Texas.
Okay.
That direct flight?
It's a direct flight from Dallas.
Oh, man.
I think I've talked about this on the show before, but Sophie used to be an actor on a Australian TV show. So she would fly to... Australia all the time. And I think Australia is like a 22-hour flight or something like that. So she used to do that on a pretty regular basis, like at least, if you know, once or twice a quarter.
Did she ever get her, I'm coming up with the wrong word, the lawsuit settlement, whatever thing figured out where they're supposed to pay her for royalties?
No, she hasn't. And I thank you for reminding me about that. I'm going to get on her. I feel like it's one of those things where it's kind of nebulous. She's like, oh, I need to talk to a lawyer. So I'll just wait and like, maybe I'll do it later. But I'm like, you got to do that. Cause like, that's legit. Like they're kind of screwing you out of some money there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how many Patreon memberships could she have gotten with that?
I know. She could have afforded so many top tier Patreon memberships. She probably would have won the KM Tools gift card a million times over.
Yeah.
That's at least like what, 200,000-300,000 off the cut Patreon memberships and
exactly
6 million Green Suitors memberships.
In a roundabout way, she's kind of screwing us by not pursuing it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Speaking of people who are screwing us, it's not our new patron.
Ooh.
We got a new patron this week, Zach Blanton. And hold your beer for a second. Let me take a sip. Zach signed up for the entire year.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Wow.
So
not only does he have a great name, but he's got great taste.
Yeah. Joke's on you, Zach. This is our last episode.
Well, how does that work? Like, I mean, don't worry, Zach. We're going to keep going.
Yeah, we're going to keep going.
Out of curiosity's sake, like, what about if we just ended tomorrow?
Oh, you'd be screwed.
Yeah.
But we aren't. We're going to keep this thing going. And that's because of all of our patrons, and especially thanks to our top tier patrons, Renee, better known as the Goblin Spanker, Dan Armendariz, Luke Schmidt, Josh at Freedom Workshop, Corey Duvall, and Dadu.
Hell yeah.
Thanks. Everybody, genuinely, we really appreciate it. We could not do this without everybody's support because, you know, contrary to popular belief, podcasts are not free to produce.
Turns out you have to pay to have a podcast. And not to completely derail the conversation right now, but are you guys getting a little bit of feedback on your headphones?
I was getting a lot of, like, it kept cutting out. And that's why I took mine off.
No,
are we getting feedback now?
I think maybe I'm hearing a little bit coming through like your speakers to your mic, Derek.
Yeah, I thought it's supposed to do noise cancellation, but I can switch it back up again.
It's like just the faintest little bit, but
there we go. Echo cancellation. Let's see if that helps.
Chest, test, test, test. Yeah, that seemed to help.
Chest.
Are you making fun of my speech impediment again?
No, not yet.
My lisp.
All right. Well, anyway, if you want to support the show, unlock the after show, get a gift card, all kinds of cool stuff like that, go to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast.
Access to the Discord, too.
Yeah. And access to the answer of this riddle that I want to give you guys.
Ooh.
You ready for this one?
I am.
No, I can't take credit for this. I heard this from someone else, but I thought it was really clever.
Okay.
How, and listen carefully, how do you spell the word candy with only two letters? And if you know the answer, don't say it. We're going to save it for the after show. We're going to reveal the answer.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Okay. I don't know.
I'll say it one more time and then we'll move on. How do you spell the word candy?
I think I got it.
Only two letters. Now, I'll be honest with you. It took me several hours to figure it out.
Did you actually sit there and figure it out, or did you just Google?
No. I was like,
it took me several hours to Google it.
No, I figured this one out of myself.
Okay. Well, everybody listening at home, don't you dare Google it. You got to spend several hours the way Eric did figuring it out, or go to the after show and listen there.
All right.
I'm curious. I'm not going to Google. I'm going to wait until I really want to Google right now, but I'm not. I'm going to wait until the after show.
I think I know. Right.
Okay. I got to hit you with one other thing and then we'll move on.
Okay.
All right. Here's a joke. I was washing the car. Obviously, I don't have a kid. I was washing my car with my son this weekend, mm-hmm. and my son said, "Dad, why don't you just use a sponge?" That's not bad, is it?
Took me a second, but yeah.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good. That's
not bad. I figured I could get a good laugh out of you. You know what we got to do at work? We got to do like a joke circle where we all sit in the circle, try to tell jokes.
Oh.
And first one to laugh has to buy beers for everybody.
Oh, okay.
I'm a nervous laugher.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. I hate. Do you remember in elementary school, like first day of class, you'd go around, you'd play a game, and they'd be like, "So we're going to go around the room, and everybody's going to say like an interesting fact about themselves."
Yeah.
And then just the entire time in my head, I would be panicking until it got to me. That was my entire middle school life.
Even worse was, see, Derek, you probably didn't have this issue because your letters are close to the beginning of the alphabet.
Oh, but, true.
So did you ever have to do that? Like, my name is Abby and I like ants. And then my name is Becky and I like bees. Yes. And then like, you go.
Yes,
like,
further, 100%. Further I'll tell you, grade 9 drama class. We had to have an alliteration that described us that also started with the first letter of our name.
Ooh, okay, what'd you pick?
Oh, is xylophone? Dude, no, not xylophone.
I had to do zany. And I'm not zany. I don't know if you've ever met me before, but I'm not a zany person.
I'll but confess, it was, I don't even know what that word means.
Like crazy?
Yeah.
It was the only thing funny. I could think. Yeah, it was the only thing I could think that started with a Z or a Z for you Americans out there.
Fair. It's fair. Eh. But didn't you hate when you had to like, okay, then like one person went, then the second person went, they had to repeat with the first person. Then the third person went, they had to repeat the first and second.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. And they would always do it. They'd be like, "Oh, get in alphabetical order by," and then they're like, "But we're not going to do it by first name. We're going to do it by last name." And I'm like,
okay.
Get out of here. I'm at the end of the damn alphabet. I'm not going to remember three people, let alone 20. Isn't there like,
my name starts with a silent A.
Well, see, that's where we differ because whenever it was alphabetical order, I was always like, come on, last name. Let's go last name.
Right, right, right.
Because then I'm in the middle, but Zed, I'm all the way at the end.
Yeah. I hated those things. Hated those things.
Middle school, elementary school, high school, those were all not great times in my life. I didn't really flourish until university.
These kids are really awkward. You know what they'd like to do? Share personal details and stand up in front of the class and talk.
Yeah, exactly. Let's single out these awkward kids, make them stand up and tell stories about themselves in front of a group.
One of the things that I absolutely hate the most, and I don't know what psychopaths think this is a great thing. They're like, "We're going to do an icebreaker." And you're like, "All right, great." They're like, "Tell us a fact you've never told anyone in your entire life." It's just like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not definitely a chance. Not.
Definitely not. Especially, if it's something I've made it 35 years without telling anybody, it's like, slim chance I'm going to tell you guys. I'm taking that to the grave.
What you gotta just do is just deadpan face and just be like, "I just shit my pants." I've never told anybody that. I'll take the explicit on that one. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well worth it. Well,
circling back.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. But circling back to things that are relevant, what are you up to, Zach? What's going on?
Oh, buddy, I'm stuck in this development hell, as I like to call it. Okay. I have three videos that are basically done at this point. All three are waiting for sponsor approval.
Oh, I'm waiting on two for approval right now.
See, this is I want to get a video out there so that I can, be active on the platform again. And
in 3 months.
I keep getting these like revision requests. And it's like, so I spend all my time doing these little revisions and not creating new content.
Right, 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 right.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Last week, I got a little bit of voiceover work done on my nightstand video. But other than that, man, I've just been shooting ad reads and then re-editing ad reads.
Right.
It's pretty brutal.
Stuff behind the computer doing a lot of technical details. Nothing creative right now.
Exactly. Cool. Exactly. What about you?
So I've been in this. I have some videos out getting for approval as well. Mm-hmm. One of them I posted on my Patreon. I think we talked about last week.
You mentioned that you had just posted something on your Patreon.
Yeah, right? Like the milling lumber tips and tricks or whatever.
Yes.
So I posted on my Patreon because it was approved. And then they, I let my patrons watch it.
Can we pause for a second? Yeah. Do you wait for approval before you post on your Patreon?
Yes, because then I just put the unlisted YouTube link.
Oh, I see. Okay. You don't use the integrated, like Patreon lets you upload videos, but it's horrible because it's Patreon, and of course it is.
It takes 3 hours to upload the video to it.
No, it doesn't take, mine uploads very quickly, but then this, you're good in
process.
This processing, and that takes 3 to 4 hours.
For and you reason. Can't press schedule the post until it's done processing. So you have to leave that damn window up for
three, four hours. Times I've accidentally closed that window after having it up for like 2 hours, and it just wasn't finished. I accidentally closed it. You're like, oh, great. I have to do that all over again.
It's infuriating.
It's hard to derail.
No. It's infuriating. Everyone hates Patreon. But if you want to go to patreon.com/offthecuffpodcast, we greatly appreciated it. Mm-hmm. So I posted it on Patreon because it was approved. And then the brand was like, oh, actually, that product isn't going to be released until March. So, like, you can't release the video yet. I was like, okay.
Too late.
No, it doesn't matter. It's on Patreon. Like, it's
a
small sub 100 people that's on that.
Paid for it,
right? So I don't care that the patrons have already seen it. I'm glad that they've got to see it, right?
Yeah.
So now I have to wait for that one, and then I sent out the approval for another video that's supposed to launch by the end of February. Haven't heard back from the brand yet, and so I'm waiting on that. And now I'm like, so I did a lot of like technical behind the scenes stuff and whatnot, and now. I told you I got that Shaper Origin, right?
Yeah, true. Have you had a chance to really use it since last week?
I just got to play around with it today.
Ooh, okay. Tell me about it.
So first off, it's awesome. But I think this is one thing that people don't realize. When you get new tools, you're thrilled, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also so damn infuriating to find out now where this thing needs to live and how to kind of bring it in your workflow. And it feels so awkward and it's frustrating and it fatigues the hell out of you when you get a new tool. Mm-hmm. I think people gloss over that.
Yeah, anytime you get a new tool, there is always a learning curve where you have to learn all the ins and outs of it, all the weird little quirks of it.
Right.
And then it's, how do I best utilize this thing? Right. In my workflow to make the things I want to make.
Right. So I got, that's pretty much what I did today is I was just like the first project they not really suggest that you do, but one that you can do is like, your stuff comes and it comes in the little sustainer thingies and then all like the accessories, like the wrenches and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, here's a big block of foam that goes in the sustainer.
Yeah.
First project is to like carve out those little things on foam and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. But man, like conceptually, it's super easy. But because you've never really done it before, you're like, wait, how do I do this? And like,
I mean, it's kind of nice that they give you a little starter project like that so that you can kind of get over those awkward quirks on something that's, not mission critical.
Right. Right.
Like, oh, if you screw up your little foam block, it's like, big whoop, I'll just get another foam block. Or worst case scenario, I just won't have a foam block inside my sustainer.
Yeah. So it's been frustrating. But it also at the same time, I'm just like, man, this unlocks so many options. And things that I can do, and I'm excited and pumped for it. But then during that, I was kind of like looking around my shop, and you know, organization is one thing that like drives me mad, right? Mm-hmm. I was looking around, and I'm like, I really need to just clean up. I need to declutter.
Yeah.
And so I spent like 4 hours today just decluttering because I was so frustrated and fatigued.
I bet that felt good.
Oh man, it was phenomenal. Yeah. And I feel great now. I'm just like, I needed that like mental release, if you will, to just like get all that stuff out. I like reorganized, got rid of clutter, and I'm like, I can breathe now. And now I'm pumped for the next thing that I build, as opposed to just being frustrated and fatigued.
You have like a blank slate and you can start on the next project. Yeah. I have
refresh.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I've been meaning. So I have all these doubles of tools and I don't really need to have as many doubles of some stuff as I do. So I've been meaning to sit down and spend a day just, you know, like what you do. You sell the old stuff on eBay or whatever. I'll sell it on Craigslist or some local Facebook marketplace or whatever.
Right.
Like I just need to declutter a little bit. Like I have too many tools. I don't use half of them. I could get rid of a lot of them. And not only would I put a few dollars in my pocket, but I would also have a much cleaner workspace. I've been meaning to do that for a long time. I think I might do that next week.
It's really nice throwing a podcast or audiobook. And just zone out. Filming anything. It's great.
I did that around my house. Okay, so this is a weird little tangent, but I did that around my house. I took all the tech stuff and all the camera gear that I have that I've accumulated over the last 3 or 4 years that I don't really use anymore. So for instance, I had like a shotgun microphone. I was like, I use lavalier mics for everything.
Right.
I was like, I'll just sell a shotgun mic.
Right.
And so all the money I was getting, I was just putting, I was using it to pay off Sophie's car early.
Okay.
So somebody give me like $200. I would great goal, right? It's like, you know, like let's get this car paid off early. It'll be like a nice little thing for the couple. And then I realize every time I make an early payment on this car, my bank is forced to send me a letter that now shows me the new terms of the loan. So basically I'll pay like $50 on it and they'll send me a letter that's like, okay, well, you've now shortened the length of your loan by like 15 days or something.
Sure.
So that got me thinking, I was like, could I bankrupt my bank by just making a series of 1 cent payments on this car? And then they had to send me like 10,000 letters.
Oh, wait, I gotta bankrupt the bank. Okay.
Oh, is that a title?
That could be
where they bankrupt the bank.
Yeah. Possible show title. That's funny though.
Yeah.
Oh.
But you'd be surprised. I mean, at least I was. I probably made a couple $1,000 over the last 2 weeks by just selling crap that I didn't need anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And if you know somebody's getting, you know, a router or a drill for a quarter of the price, you get a few bucks, somebody's getting a wicked deal on something.
I'm pricing this stuff to move. I don't care. I'm just like, get it out of here. Like, you know, I'm not. Yeah. Anybody makes me a reasonable offer, sure, it's yours. Come pick it up.
Some of the stuff for me that was like a low dollar figure, I'm just like, if it's like $20, is it even worth me like taking the time to list it?
Yeah. But that's the thing. Okay. But so something's worth $20. I don't want to throw it in the garbage because that's something that's conceivably useful to somebody. So usually I'll put it up on Craigslist or Kijiji and somebody will be like, well, I'll give you $5 for it. I'll be like, sure, come get it. I don't care. Like, I just want it gone and I don't want it to go in the garbage, but I also don't want to deal with all the people. If you put it up for free, then you get some really weird people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So yeah,
I gave away
a collection of them together and just sell it all as one big thing.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. They all kind of have to be related, though.
Yeah. If they're all tools or they're all gaming stuff, you know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good
did that with my DVDs once I finally realized it was a waste of everyone's life to be storing DVDs. I sold, here's a pack of 75 DVDs on eBay. Somebody's like, I'll give you $50 for it. I was like, done. Great.
100%. Let's go.
I had two lamps.
Yeah.
So, but see, I'm lucky enough. One of my buddies, he listens to the podcast. I know. Shout out Timmy. He's nice. On my hockey team.
Nice.
I just sent him a text. I was like, "Hey, you want this stuff?" He's like, "Yeah, sure." So I just put it in a brown paper bag and gave it to him at hockey the other day. I was like, "Dude, you're doing me a favor." Because like,
yeah,
it was some small like woodpecker stuff that was like, I was like, I don't know if I'm really ever going to use this.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'll give it to him. Like,
yeah, fair. I mean, I'd rather stuff go to a home where it's going to get used than just collect dust on my shelf. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. I've got a Bosch router like that I've been meaning to get. I might do like a thing on my Patreon, give it away to people on Patreon.
Is it the Colt?
It's the 1617.
Like
the 2.5 horse, the fix and plunge base.
Oh,
combo.
That's the big boy. I have
a great router. One.
Yeah, that is fantastic a router. Actually.
I don't need it anymore.
Does yours have those like maple handles on it?
Yeah.
That's a nice little detail.
It's a great router, man.
Yeah. Phenomenal. You don't see too many tools with wood handles.
No.
In 2024. Is that? Yeah, it's 20. I was going to say 2023. And I was like, wait.
It's nice. Yeah. Not a bad. I mean, I think it's like $200, $150, $200 or something like that.
Yeah. That's a good router. You can even flip that bad boy upside down, throw it in a router table.
It actually has a little like wrench that if you like screw it to a board, you literally, it has like a wrench that works on the bottom that makes it basically a router lift. Not the greatest router lift in the world, but it still works.
Yeah, totally.
It's not bad. But yeah, I've been meaning to give that to somebody too.
Yeah.
You know what else I did?
What's
that? Did you happen to see my Instagram story with the last day or two?
No, dude, I haven't been on Instagram.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. This is the most views I've ever got on an Instagram story life.
Story or real?
Story.
Story. Wait, did you ask people if they would eat the moldy bread?
What?
No.
Because that was your previous record.
Yeah, and that was like 8,000, I think. It was pretty high. Which for me, for a story, is pretty damn good.
But for people out there listening at home, you know, if you have like a medium-sized Instagram account, if you get 10% of your follower base watching your story, you're like, whoa, that's a good story.
Right. Like that is typically I have 100 and change thousand on Instagram. Yeah. 1,000 to 2,000 people will see a story.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that seem about right?
Yep. Sounds about right.
So I posted a picture and it's just of my 3D printer saying that I'm selling it.
Oh, you're selling the 3D printer.
I got 9,214 views.
Okay.
Wow. No link, just a photo. No just audio, photo. Nothing.
You get a lot of people wanting to buy it?
No.
Oh.
So I posted the Creality thing. I said $600, local pickup only, Columbus, Ohio. I will not ship. In big, bold letters. Man. I had 20 to 30 people ask, how much is shipping? I just replied back, seriously? ?
I mean, probably most of those were trolling you.
I don't know.
A good percentage of those are probably trolling.
Right. But I was like, this is a $1,000 printer. I'll sell it for $600.
$600, that's a good deal.
So I know what the follow-up question thinking, Zach, you're thinking, well, what the hell are you going to do about a 3D printer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know there's a big old hot debate about what 3D printer to get, right?
Yes.
And, well, let me guess. What do you guys think I got?
Bamboo Labs?
No, I know what you got. Okay. I know what you got. I think you got an Elegoo, didn't you?
A what?
An Elegoo. Oh, no. You didn't get
Elegoo. Because Mark was doing a deal for them.
Well, Mark was doing a deal for them. I know Pierre just got one.
Okay. I've never heard
Pierre,
of that.
The Swedish maker.
Yeah.
Got one. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Did he step up to the Bamboo Labs?
So that's what you guys vote Bamboo, you say?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I don't know enough of them.
Yeah, I'm going to say bamboo.
Okay. Which bamboo do you think I got?
Ooh, the new A... Oh, what's it called? The A1 Mini? Or the A1?
Well, I don't know what that is, so I'm just going to say no.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah.
If you've never heard of it. I was going back and forth. I was like, do I get the bamboo? Do I... And then I was like, ah, maybe I'll get a Prusa or something like that.
Yeah.
So I know people are going to be like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I thought about getting the X1 Carbon, which is the most expensive bamboo one.
Yes. But I'm like, I have two of those. I love them.
I was like, I don't know if I need a $1,500 printer. Like,
I mean, once you've used it, it's tough to go back. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, I'm sure it's super nice. I'm sure. But then I was like, I kind of like the smaller form factor of that Prusa. So I ended up getting the Prusa 4 or whatever it is. It's like the newest Prusa.
Oh,
and the reason that I was drawn to it was because all of the parts on it, you can basically print and like fix yourself.
Yeah, that is a nice feature about the Prusa. It's very open source.
Yeah. And I love the fact that I ordered it in this kit version, which for me, who doesn't know a lot about 3D printers, going to actually physically put the entire thing together will force me to educate myself about what is actually happening with this machine.
Yeah.
And it was like $700. Not bad.
My first CNC, the X-Carve, the regular X-Carve, when you buy that thing, it comes in probably 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 full days to fully assemble it.
Yeah, I believe it.
But doing that, I was like, I know this machine inside and out.
Right.
Like, I know every screw on this thing. I could fix anything that went wrong with this.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to have a very similar experience with the Prusa. That's cool.
That's the game plan, basically.
I will be... So, okay, let me ask you, why get rid of the one you have now and go to the Prusa? What was the thinking there?
So, and I know everybody listening is like, wow, must be nice. But here's my logic. The one I have works. However, the only slicer I can find, which slicer is basically the program that like, oh, here's your 3D file. I'm now going to chop it up into a bunch of, they call it slices, like layers, like thousands of layers, and gives you like the code to tell where the nozzle to go and all that kind of stuff in a simple form. The only slicer that works for that is that Creality slicer.
Yes, they're which like the proprietary.
Absolute dog shit.
Yeah, because you never worked out the support issue, did you?
No. Yeah. And okay. And so I know that what I need for that printer to be successful for me is I need to just dial in the settings like crazy and spend tons and tons of time. And
yeah,
to be honest with you, I don't want to do that. So my solution is buying a printer from someone else, which I know this is must be nice moment. I'm buying a Prusa because they have their slicer that is constantly updated all these different settings and profiles. Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, I'm using a Prusa. I'm using this kind of filament from this brand. Yeah. They already have these like profiles built, and it's just going to be like, here you go.
Yeah. Nice thing about the Prusa is huge open source community.
Right.
The Prusa as a company has been very, I guess, community focused. They've done a lot of things to kind of like encourage that community to grow. And one of those things is, like when somebody figures out the perfect settings to get some plastic to print on a Prusa, they're like, oh, perfect. I will then share those settings with the community in a very easy to download file. So that's really nice. The Bamboo Lab is kind of the opposite of that. They're like, we have this like nice little ecosystem. You buy our plastic, you put it in our printers, and it just works perfectly. You don't have to think about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like the Mac almost. That's like the Mac system, if you will.
For sure. Yeah. Prusa PC, Bamboo is Mac.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe I'll get the Bamboo, but I was like, I don't know. Honestly, It doesn't matter which of those I got. It would have been a fantastic printer.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally.
Right. And to be honest with you, I'd looked at other people. I know, oh, Travis from Shop Nation. I was like, oh, he's got 1,000 Prusas. Like,
yes,
that's out of stand for something. But I know he just got a like 40 Bamboo Lab printers. But oh, he actually got the cheaper one. He didn't get the carbon. He got like the the PSP the or something.
Yeah, that's the one Scott Walsh has too. He likes it. It's yeah. I mean, it's yeah. The P1P is basically X1. Without the like enclosure that goes around it. It's like an open bench. Yeah.
So if I'm just doing PLA or PTG, I don't even need an enclosure.
No, I mean, it's one of those things like the enclosure makes things simpler in some regards. It just keeps like, if you live in a drafty house or something like that, there could be like cold air that would like come in an open window and then hit the plastic and cause it to cure at a different rate or something like that. It's just about making it more controlled. But for you're right, for PLA and PETG and stuff like that, you probably never notice a difference between an open bench and a close bench one.
Because my mindset for the 3D printing is I view 3D printing as a tool, not a hobby. And what I mean by that is I just want to design something and use the tool to give me the output. I don't want to spend time dicking around with all the settings. Yeah. That's not of interest to me. The tool is of interest not to me, not calibrating and all this kind of stuff with the tool. That's why I went with the Prusa one.
I get that. I get that. Yeah, it makes sense.
So that's going to come tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm pumped. I ordered it Sunday night, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Coming from Czech Republic, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think that they're based out of Prague, if I recall correctly. Is that?
That sounds right.
Is that in that area?
Yeah. I had a question now. I've already forgotten what it was going to be. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's not even that important.
I can't wait for it to show up, man. I love building stuff like that. That's so fun to me.
The cool thing about the Prusa, too, is I think there's a lot of accessories you can get for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I was gonna ask you. I'm newbie at this. What is this smooth satin or textured plate? What the hell does that mean?
So basically, there's different plates. If it's anything, it's probably got a magnetic plate.
Yeah, it's a magnet one.
So it's just the smooth plates. Usually, you have to use a little bit of glue stick in order to get them to the things to adhere to it properly. Okay. The texture plate gives you a little bit more traction for your plastic. So usually you can skip the glue stick layer and just print right on the texture plate. So for a lot of my stuff, I'll just use a texture plate because it's easier and faster. The downside is that the bottom layer of your whatever you're printing will then have that texture on it.
I don't care.
Yeah. And in some cases, that's actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because you have this like cool like dimple plastic. And I assume the satin is like somewhere in between the two.
So does it matter what plastic you use for them? Like I would probably only print in PLA and PETG.
Yeah, I think either of those would work on it. Sometimes you get into like weird areas where certain plastics like to have like a really, really hot bed. Well, and then you might have to switch. Like I know, I'm trying to think of what, I think nylon, especially carbon fiber reinforced nylon, I had to have it on a smooth plate because my smooth plate was the only one that would tolerate a high enough temperature in order to actually print on it. Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, I think PLA and PETG should be fine just running it. The texture plate is nice. I use it like 90% of the time. Oh, okay. It's just so much simpler. Yeah.
Maybe it's an accessory I need to purchase.
Yeah. Yeah.
But dude, I can't wait for this thing to come. I'm hoping that I just turn it on. And I'm like, this is what 3D printing is supposed to be like.
Yeah. I feel like it's interesting because I had an experience like what you're describing with that Creality K1 Max. I was like, oh, this is easy. Like I just turned it on, plugged in the plastic, and it gave me perfect prints every time. So it's crazy to me that we had such different experiences using it.
And I reached out to support. Crickets.
Really?
Nothing.
Wow, interesting.
I even tried to pull the card of reaching out to the person who we got in contact with. Nothing.
Really? Interesting. Interesting.
So I was like, I'm just going to try something different.
But yeah, I mean, if they were smart, like if they had properly supported you, that you could have potentially put their product in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people.
Yeah, I mean, but, and that's the goal of, I want to kind of integrate that into things in the future of like,
yeah,
oh, I don't know, I need to route out this weird thing rather than trying to build up some crazy thing. I'm just going to 3D print it. Quick jig.
Yep, 100%. And that's like, the best thing. Like anytime I need a small little part and I'm like, oh, you know, I could carve that or I could spend hours sculpting it out of metal or something like that. Just 3D print it.
Right. That's how I kind of want to position 3D printing in my channel, is like a 5% of a project kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you just add like a little, oop, just do a little bit of this, or like, hey, in one of the storage solutions I was having, I couldn't figure out where to put all these, so I made these little bins and like move on with the project. It's kind of like sprinkle it in, not just like, today I'm going to 3D print my entire living room. Like people are like, what the hell? it wouldn't fit with like my channel or whatever. It's more of just like an ancillary thing.
Let's try I thought about thumbnail. That. I 3D printed my entire shop.
I thought about that. I used to worry about that a lot more when I first got my 3D printers too. I was like, oh, I can't go too heavy on these in my content. But it's been okay for me. I don't know. Like people didn't resist the 3D printer as much as I thought they would.
People love the tech stuff in your channel.
People, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it would go with my channel. We'll see if people try to burn my apartment down when I bring out the Shaper Origin.
Ooh, true. People get much more angry at me when I do CNC stuff versus when I do 3D printing stuff.
I think the 3D printer is more accessible, right? You can grab one for a couple $100, which is like the cheapest CNC is at least $1,000.
Yeah, exactly. How much is Shaper Origin?
Well, it's like $2,700.
Yeah.
Okay.
$2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah, okay.
It's nice though, man. That's not sponsored whatsoever. I paid for the entire thing myself. It's great.
Man, it's so cool looking. Like it just looks like such an impressive piece of hardware.
Have you seen the one online that's like I think it's called like the Buffalo or something? And you set it on the floor and it's much bigger.
Yeah.
It moves around itself and carves.
I was actually in contact with them in like 2019, 2020 at the very beginning. But I think it was before that thing was even like a Kickstarter. And we had gone back several times.
Yeah, it's
basically a Roomba.
Yeah.
We've gone back for several times.
Router on it.
Just like, nah.
I got in contact with a company that was kind of like that, except it was just a pen. And it didn't carve anything, but you could like, it was a Roomba that you could like put down on a table or something and it would like draw whatever you wanted it to draw.
Huh. Okay.
It was kind of a neat idea, but yeah, for whatever reason, it just, it kind of fell off.
Yeah. There's a lot of things like that. Yeah. It loses legs, if you will.
Yes. Yes.
It loses legs.
Well, speaking of losing legs, should we lose our legs and head over to the after show?
Oh, yeah.
Is it that time?
I mean, it's an hour and five minutes into this podcast.
Did we kill? We might have killed too much time at the beginning, but we're probably close to an hour.
We're close. I got to hear what the answer to that, how to spell candy with two letters.
All right. So everybody, again, how do you spell the word candy with only two letters?
You want to find out? Got to meet us over in the after show.
That's where we're going to go. And we'll see everybody next week.
See y'all.